You know, it's exciting to come to church and to know that you're going to see people that you haven't seen all week. maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but it's nice that. But it's especially sweet when you haven't seen people, if they're away and they come back, and you feel kind of like there's a new feeling there, right? It's kind of cool to appreciate each other and to feel good, and you really look forward to that, you know, and that's a real gift of God that we have that kind of relationships in the church. And it really is about relationships, because our relationship begins with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I have friends who are going to come in a little while. I haven't seen them. We talk every week. I read a book with my friend Paul, and we talk about God once a week. We pray together, but I'm going to see him live and in person today with his wife, and they're coming up from their trip from Atlanta to New Jersey, and it's going to be great. You know, it's a reunion. It's wonderful to be able to see each other in that kind of a way. And I was thinking that that's exactly what happened for the disciples at the day of Pentecost. And you'll notice that there's a lot of red here, and on my shirt, my tie, and this beautiful symbol here. When you look at this, what do you see? It's like one of those pictures that has more than one thing that you can see in it. What's the first thing that you see? Fire? Gold. Okay, gold. What else? The Trinity. You got the Trinity on your mind. There's a dove. These are wings, right? And it's the dove in here, and the head is kind of like fire. So they're using the dove symbol because the dove came down upon Jesus and anointed him when he was baptized. Remember? I didn't really even see that until this morning. But it's there. But it's here more clearly. So for those of you who, you know, are a little bit challenged by this one, you can look at that one and you can see the flames. But the flames are also the purifying power of God, right? It's the holiness of God being exemplified in the flames. And so that's why it's red, and that's why we're wearing red today, to remind us of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is always with us. We also have red pews. But the main thing is that, and I think that's intentional, actually, but the main thing is that we know is that the Holy Spirit came down in power on Pentecost, and the Pentecost was not another word for the Holy Spirit coming. It was actually an opportunity that God had chosen at a festival of harvest to bring the Holy Spirit in to bear a harvest of people's souls. It's cool, right? I mean, it's all these kind of things that come to mind for us when we look at God's word and we learn from him. And I was trying to think, you know, this whole week, I have to be honest with you, we're talking about the helper, which is what the Holy Spirit is, one of the things that the Holy Spirit is. And the first thing I said to God was, help me. Help me. There's a lot to cover. And there's so, you know, there's such a vast amount to learn about the Holy Spirit. You know, I really need your help. And I think that that's actually the best prayer that we could ever pray. Help me, Lord. You know, every day. It's nothing bad. It's something actually that's quite good for us to humble ourselves before God. Because we really don't know anything. And that's what Jesus told us. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we want to look at the scripture today with that in mind, for the Holy Spirit's coming. The Holy Spirit is a part of God's plan. And I think that if we really break it down simply, if I can try, we hear about Adam and Eve sinning. And then, you know, they were punished for their sin, right? They received this, they were removed from the Garden of Eden, right? They had to leave there. So there was an accounting for their sins. But at the same time, the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ was set into action. Right? And so what happens is this, and this helps, I think, to be able to understand the Holy Spirit coming. Jesus was sent from heaven to earth with the mission of dying for the sins of all of mankind. He had this mission to save us from the sins that we commit so that we would be reunited with God. The Father, we're separated from the Father through our sins. Jesus goes on this mission with the blessing of the Father, right, to go because of his love for us. He comes to earth. He's born to Mary, grows to be a man. He's crucified on the cross. His blood washes away the sins of the world, right? He conquers death in that sense. His death on the cross conquered death for us. He is raised from the dead,
on the resurrection. That's Easter. And then he ascends into heaven. And we also had, you know, a day on Sunday where we talked about the ascension and the power of that. And the biggest thing that that represents is the exaltation of Jesus. You remember we were talking about the exaltation. He was exalted. He went up in glory, right? And so that is what happened. But before he went, he said, don't worry, don't be afraid. The Father, I'm going to tell the Father, and the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. And so that's what happened. They were praying and praying and actually filled with joy, anticipating being reunited with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, right? So just like, you know, those of you who are away and we come back and we're reunited like this and we see each other and we're so happy to see each other, all of the disciples, right, that were told that Jesus was going to tell the Father and he would send the Holy Spirit, received the Holy Spirit on the Pentecost, and it came in great power. And so the mission of Jesus to earth continued through the mission of the Holy Spirit being sent from the heaven, from heaven, from the Father to earth to continue the mission of saving souls. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit to be missionaries, co-missions, co-missionaries with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with the Father. That's the coming of the Holy Spirit. So it isn't just one occurrence where it's a miraculous thing in itself. It's not. It's a part of a plan from Holy God to save you and me. And that is exciting. So when we think of the Holy Spirit, we really need to think of the Holy Spirit as being God sent from heaven. Again, you know, it's in the spirit form this time, not through Jesus in the form of a man, but the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us and helps us here on earth to do the mission that God intends to save souls. And that's the exciting, and still here. He is still here now, continuing on until Christ returns. Again, returns from heaven, right? The final part of that plan where he comes to earth and receives everyone into heaven who believes in him. And then there'll be a judgment for those, for all people, both believers and non-believers. So that in a nutshell is what we are thinking about today, but we really want to be praising God that he is with us, right? He lives in us. And those kind of things are very, very, very reassuring. That there is a God who loves us and he lives within us and is helping us, right? So there's many different aspects, and the reason that I was calling out to God to help me is because there's so many different things that you could talk about the Holy Spirit, but I received an answer from God, I truly did, for my calling out and for help, and it was the word help, right? So that's the way God works. You call out and help, and he says, that's it. I want you to talk about me being the helper. I'm there to help you. Now, helper, to me, if you were to say that, I would immediately, and I did launch into this whole thing of thinking, okay, I can't wait to tell everybody about how God helps us in our weaknesses. He helps us in our physical way, in a physical way. He helps us if we're taking tests. He helps us if we're, you know, having problems at work or at home in different ways. And these kind of things are truly a help from God. We can receive help in that kind of a way. But the way that the helper, the Holy Spirit is a helper, is more focused on something else today that I feel that God wants us to learn together. And a big part of that came during the week while I was praying, and some of you received an email from me saying that I felt that it's important for us to pick up our Bibles in a physical form and begin using it and showing people not only that we believe in the Bible, but that we really want that to be seen in our lives, right? There's a visibility that comes with picking up a Bible and having it in our hand. Try it. Go to the supermarket. Go to carry it wherever you go, right? And see if people don't take notice of something like that, and see if what it does in the inside of you to see whether or not you feel comfortable with that. You know, so I feel that that's what God wanted to do. I don't want to make a big deal of it. It's up to you to do that. But I do feel that it's more visible and it's more plain to us than if we use a cell phone or something like that. You can still use the cell phone. I do it all the time, you know, to search things in the computer. So it's not like that. But it is something that God is saying to us. And I believe that that is what he wanted me to share with you today in regards to the help that we receive. And it's through God's word. It's through God's word, and it's the thing that we have at our disposal most, right? We have these Bibles that were given when we're baptized. And this guy that I knew one time told me, you know, the Bibles that we give people at baptism, they're kind of symbolic, so you can put it on a shelf and you can remember that day. And I was thinking, that's not what I believe. What I believe is that we're supposed to take our Bibles after we're baptized and open them, take them out of the sealed, whatever it is that they come in, take them and start to use them. And Reverend Shu was these are my friends that came all the way from Atlanta that I was telling you about. Yeah. Good to see you. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. So the what was I talking about? Oh, the Bible. Yeah, okay, that thing. So the Bible is not meant to be put in on a shelf as a symbolic, you know, kind of a gift that you received when you're baptized. You're supposed to use it and read it and really pour over it. Reverend Shu was a pastor of this church, and if you saw his Bible, right, he's no longer with us, sadly, but he was always carrying this Bible that looked like it was just going to fall into dust. You know, I mean, it was just so much used, right? And he always used that Bible. And some people might think, can't you get another Bible? You know, it's kinda, you know, yours is so like fragile and it looks like it's, you know, but he is using it. He's got it in his hand. He's pouring over it and opening it. And that's why the pages are starting to fall apart, because of use, right? And so I really think that that is a message that I receive from God. And I wanted to pass it on to you. So, you know, pray about that and see if that doesn't have some purpose in your life to begin using a real, you know, like this form of a Bible in your life and carry it around with you to see what kind of reaction you may get. You might just lead someone to the Lord. You know, you might just do that. And I think there's a reason behind it. And that's the Holy Spirit talking to me this week and sharing with me what I'm supposed to do. And it's very reassuring. It's a great help for my life to know that God is actually speaking to me about something. Sometimes it's not so easy to take. Like, you know, when you have to make a change and he points out something that you need to adjust in your life so that you're living a holy life, the one that is consistent with what God wants for you. But that's really what the Holy Spirit is here, to help us in that sense to look at our hearts. Right? To look at our hearts, to come and to show us the things, just like the goodie bag, you know, we're so focused on the candy and the toy and these other things, and we, you know, just don't see the scripture that's in that goodie bag that we could open up and be filled with the godliness of God. And it could be life-changing, you know, so we just kind of throw that away and keep the things that really don't last. And God is saying to us, even through that, and that idea came to me from the Holy Spirit, I think, right? Because how would I think of something like that? I don't possess that kind of idea aside from the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to share that with the kids. So, you know, we want to be interacting with the Holy Spirit who's in us and listen to the voice of God speaking to us and do what he says. You know, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be something we need. So the Holy Spirit helps us in that regard. But I was really struck again by the scripture part of it. And another way that the Holy Spirit was leading me in my cry for help was to open a book that I found by John Owen. Now, John Owen was like this man who had a Puritan kind of a faith. He was from the 1600s. Really, really not a very, very strong Christian. And he wrote many books, many of which the language is so hard to follow because of the time that he wrote it. You know, but the heart of the man was so into God, and the things that he spoke about in the Holy Spirit were partly found in a book that he called The Helper. And this was after I had, you know, sent Betty the information for the bulletin saying I'm going to call this sermon The Helper. And then I come across this book called The Helper by John Owen. I start reading and I'm like, gee, thank you, God, you know, for helping me to find this book called The Helper by John Owen. So I started reading it, and the things that he said in it were really, really important. I before I get there, I just want to get back to my sermon notes here and start from the beginning and just share some scripture with you and some thoughts leading up to that. So the Holy Spirit helps us means, first of all, to understand that he helps us to understand and illuminate the scriptures for us. This is really, really big. To helps us to understand and to and illuminate the scriptures for us. Okay? The scriptures, 1 Timothy 1:16 says, are God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. Breathing, Holy Spirit, Ruach in Hebrew, talking about breathing life into mankind. And the scriptures are living. They're alive. They're the breath of God. They come into us and they breathe into us. And so it's so really amazing to think that all of this scripture here, though it was written by men, is God-breathed. It's the Holy Spirit touching these people who wrote these words down for us. God's Spirit touching them and telling them what they should write for us, right? So the Bible is so important for us, and we need to seek the Holy Spirit's help to know, and more importantly, to acknowledge or understand what God is saying in it. What are you saying in your word for me today? And that's why we have a prayer of illumination before we read the Bible here, right, in our service. So illumination through the Spirit must happen. That means to bring to light, illuminate. If you go in the room and you turn on a light switch, you're illuminating the darkness, right? You're illuminating the room. Same thing in our hearts and our spirits. So illumination through the Spirit must happen to truly understand and be transformed by God's Word. Listen to a few of these scriptures. I just want to read these to you. If you want to open your Bibles to these, you can. Psalm 119:18. Psalm 119:18 says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. And these words in Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your love. This takes us into the realm of the Holy Spirit, right? We open our eyes every day when we get up, or we, you know, if we take a nap or whatever, we open them up again. That's one form of opening our eyes. But really what we're talking about here is opening our eyes to our souls, to our hearts, to the things that are spiritual that God wants to give to us. So it's very important that we see that. And that comes from God's word, right? So God's word is teaching us these valuable things about the Spirit. And the Spirit does that. Open my eyes, Holy Spirit, that I may see wondrous things like Jesus Christ, wondrous things like our Savior, wondrous things like the Good Shepherd, wondrous things like the Christ who died on the cross for my sins, set me free, and gives me life eternal. Right? So that's one verse. Now there's another section of scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:13-18. 2 Corinthians 3:13-18. He was talking about Moses here and the veil. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. To this day, when they read the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so if you'll notice in those words, there's a transformation going on, right? So it's not merely just reading the words in our own understanding, but it's the Holy Spirit illuminating the word for us, removing a veil, so to say, of our that represents our own hardened hearts or the things that we are, and allowing God's Spirit to come in and to illuminate his word in us to help us to see these wondrous things. These wondrous things that are there for us. Beautiful. And then we go to Ephesians 1:17-19. We were just studying at Ephesians a short time ago on Wednesday nights. Ephesians 1:17-19. I'm going to read a little bit more because this is so good. He's praying for the people there in Ephesus. I don't cease to give thanks for you, says in 16, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the work of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Can you imagine someone praying that for you? Right? And that's what Paul is doing, and that's what God is doing. The Holy Spirit is praying that. He's illuminating this for us and saying, this is for you. This is for me. That God wants us to know more. More than just what we see with our eyes, right? Or just to read it simply, to go along, but to let the Holy Spirit in and to illuminate the Word of God for us in that kind of a way. Amazing things that God is going to reveal to us. And one of the big things that he does there is that he illuminates hope. There's so many people in the world today that are walking around without hope. And they're trying to get that kind of a hope and thinking about hope in these vague ways that doesn't really come to anything because it's not found in God. But through the Holy Spirit, we are able to see the hope that God is at work in doing in this world and to receive it. So John Owen said this. This is one, I'm going to read a couple of quotes of his today. One of them is, I will never grant that a man understands the scriptures correctly who understands the word of it only, and not the things which are the mind of God in them. Right? It's not enough to just understand the words. We need to know the mind of God in these words. And the way that we do it is through praying for the Holy Spirit to illuminate us, to illuminate our hearts, to open the word up to us in that kind of a way. He mentioned rabbis. He said the rabbis, at the time that he was living, understand the words of the Bible impeccably in the original Hebrew, yet they miss the mind of God. And that is not just the rabbis. That would describe my life. A lot of my life was reading and hearing things, but I didn't really get the mind of God in it. I was too busy with my other desires, you know, the other things that were going on. But God in his mercy comes and he's patient with us and he leads us to this understanding of what his mind is about. His mind. Right? Okay, so that's the illumination part, right? The illumination of God's word. And we're going to come back to that in just a bit. The second thing that the Holy Spirit does is to discern the truth. To discern the truth, and that is in our scripture today. The spirit of truth. The spirit of truth. So that's another part. It's the helper, but the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. What is the? It's the truth of Jesus and the gospel. The things that he represented in the time that he lived in. The same things that Jesus taught. And the Holy Spirit, it says in another verse in chapter 14, says that he will show you the scriptures and remind you of what Jesus taught you. Right? So Jesus was with these disciples and he went to heaven and ascended into heaven and he's there at the right hand of God and the Holy Spirit comes and reminds them of what Jesus said. So he continues on with the ministry of Jesus in them in this way, right? The Holy Spirit is with them in that kind of a way, right? So we need to discern what truth is and what is not the truth of God. In fact, in our scripture, we read that. And also in verse 13 of chapter 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you to all truth. So the Holy Spirit guides us to truth. When we break that down in our world today, maybe a good way of understanding that would be in AI. A big part of the world today, it's kind of terrifying, you know, I guess there are some good things about it, I don't know. But the most recent thing that I remember watching on a news program was this man who received a phone call from his son, and his son said, "Dad, I've been in an accident. I hit someone, and the person died, and now I'm in prison. Can you please send money and put up the bail for me?" And the father heard the voice of his son, and he reacted, and he said, "Of course, I'll help you." And he gets, he goes to the bank, and he's going to take out this big amount of money and send it to his son. And who calls him on the way to the bank? His son. And he sees his face, because it's on FaceTime, and his son is saying, "Don't listen to what they said to you. It's a scam." But now we're living in a time of untruth, where people are using these kind of forms of things to really, deceive people so that they can get money from them, and they take advantage of people's hearts like that. Isn't that awful? Right? So this is one kind of truth that we're facing there, but God would never do that. God would never do that. He is the truth. He's one that is connected with love and grace and mercy and truth in that kind of way, right? We need to be educating our kids. We need to be educating everybody about these things because it really is evil. And I know I could tell you more stories of the same thing where people have lost vast amounts of money because they thought that they were speaking to someone who was asking them for help when in fact it wasn't that person at all. But people are actually spending their time devising ways to trick people with untruth to get their money from them. And that's the work of the devil. And so that helps us to be able to understand the beauty of God and his power and the help that he provides for us in this kind of a way. We really need to be praying every day for God to illuminate our hearts and to give us this wisdom so that we're not going to fall for these tricks. And we need to educate our kids on the Holy Spirit, not just about the bad people in the world, but we need to educate our kids about the Holy Spirit. Another way that the Holy Spirit helps us, it says in God's word, is by interceding for us. Now, we learned that Jesus intercedes for us, right, in heaven. It's interesting, right? But the Holy Spirit is continuing the ministry of Jesus, and this is what they have in common. But the Holy Spirit is also one who intercedes for us. It says in Romans 8:13, you know this verse, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Raise your hand if you've ever felt that, like the Holy Spirit helping you to pray, right? To be there for you and to, you're like, I'm at my end. I don't know what to say here. I almost feel like crying now, like thinking about those moments where you just feel like, I don't know what to do. I remember one time when I was in New York City and I was going through something, and I was walking down the street with Lee Chan, and it was like when we first met each other and everything, but I was going through something in my life and I just fell down on the curb there, and I was just overcome with emotion because of life. It was just really getting to me, and I didn't know what to do. And I remember this nice lady was walking by and she said, "Are you all right?" And I was like, "No, I'm not," but praise God, God comes to our rescue. But we have those moments in our lives where we don't know what to do. And he comes into those moments with his Holy Spirit and he transforms us. It's the mind of God working in us, not just merely words that we memorize and say it's our Bible. These are transformative words that come and change us and lift us from those places of despair and bring us into hope. Another way that the Holy Spirit helps us, and we were reading this in our verses today. Let me just turn to that. You can turn to that also. It's chapter 15 of John, 26 and 27. Let me just read these again. "But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. He will bear witness about me, and you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." And I think that this may be, one of the main things to take away today. The Holy Spirit empowers us to witness. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Peter did this after the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. What did he do? He began to witness people, to people. The Holy Spirit fell upon him, right? And it was all around him, and these people were wondering what happened, and it was the Holy Spirit coming. And what's really cool about it is that Peter and the disciples were told that the Holy Spirit was coming, but they really probably didn't know how to expect it coming. But when it came just like it was prophesied in the book of Joel. And Peter said, that was prophesied in the book of Joel. And I'm going to tell you what that means now. These people aren't drunk. These people are filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that was promised from way back in the prophets. Do you see it? Isn't it great? Isn't it amazing? And that feeling of being reunited with God and knowing that God was with people was just spreading and spreading and spreading. But you know what he talked to them about? Their sins. He told them about Jesus dying on the cross for their sins and that they had witnessed that and that he had risen from the dead and that he saved them from their sins and they needed to believe in Christ. And so the Holy Spirit came at that time to convict the souls of, and hearts of people so that they would be freed from their sins and they would be reunited with God. And they in turn would receive that Spirit and then be sent out as his witnesses. So it's an amazing thing, very simple actually when you think about it, but an amazing thing that happens to us as well. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we are equipped with the means for witness. And all that, most of us are going to say, I've always struggled with that, you know, at least at some point, struggle. What does that mean? How could I begin a conversation with someone? It can't happen without the Holy Spirit. Right, and that's the last part that I want to talk to you about here is to emphasize the prayer. Right, and this is one that God has been talking to me about all this week. In fact, God has taken me to another level, you know, in my later years now to have something and to be, you know, to say, I want you to now to be brave enough to admit that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in your life. You still haven't relinquished it all. And I was reading a book by a guy named Tozer, and he was talking about this, and I really felt like God was speaking to me through this man. But he was saying, you know, there's examples all through the Bible of people being filled with the Spirit, and that's what God spoke to me about this week. And you know what it really translates into? Emptying ourselves of ourselves fully. And I feel that God was saying that to me. You haven't yet totally abandoned everything. And I just want you to come as an empty vessel before me and let me fill you with myself. And that's what I want to share with you. Because I love you. Not because, you know, my love is important, but it's because that's what we have to look at each other in these kind of terms, that we are in a relationship in church and that we are all in this life together here, but God has placed us here for a purpose and he wants us to know these things of the mind of God. But it just comes from us emptying ourselves, saying, I can't, you know, I know that you're going to probably, you know, show me some things where I need to change, but I'm willing. I'm willing now, just show me what I need to do. And then God takes you and he just lifts you up and blesses you in ways that are just so amazing. So listen to one more thing that that John Owen had to say about prayer. And this is really crucial, that we have to be praying for the Holy Spirit, for the help from the Holy Spirit in our lives. He says, whoever in the diligent study of the scripture to know the mind of God therein, so as to do it, abides in fervent supplications in and by Jesus Christ for supplies of the Spirit of grace to lead them into all truth, to reveal and make known unto him the truth as it is in Jesus, to give him an understanding of the scriptures and the will of God therein, he shall be preserved from pernicious errors and attain that degree in knowledge as shall be sufficient unto the guidance and preservation of the life of God in the whole of his faith and obedience. So that's a mouthful. But what he's really saying is that if we want to be diligent in our study of the scriptures to know the mind of God, we have to pray. In and by Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, for the supply, the blessing, the help of the Spirit of grace that lead us into all truth, to reveal, right, and make known to us the truth as it is in Jesus, to give us an understanding of the scriptures. How do you understand the scriptures? The Holy Spirit. You ask for help and revelation from the Holy Spirit and the will of God. We understand the will of God. Then we will be saved from errors in our life. Right? It's not by our own means. It's not by our trying real hard to have faith or belief, or I'm going to really try my best here. It's praying to the Holy Spirit to come in and to teach these things to you so that it's all about him and not about ourselves, right? There's one thing that I wanted to tell you that I forgot in the empowering us to witness part. It's not our testimony that affects others. It's not our testimony that affects others. As much as it, you know, there are wonderful stories of how testimonies have, you know, been spoken and people have been changed, but it's not our testimony. It's the testimony of the Holy Spirit. It's the testimony of the Holy Spirit that speaks to the hearts of people. Right? And that's why, as simple as it may sound, we need to be engaged in praying to the Holy Spirit. And so I hope today that you'll join with me in this together as a body of Christ, that we will help each other to remind each other that we need to pray. Pray to God, ask him to show us what he wants to do, what the mind of God is, to open the scriptures up to us, to understand them. We've been having times in the Bible study on Wednesday nights when people have been showing that, haven't we? We've been hearing people offering things that God says to them. Sometimes it's like, wow, where'd you get that from? But, you know, I mean, there hasn't ever really been anything said that was weird. It was just something that came from a different angle or something that we could tell that God was speaking to that person. And a lot of times we are impatient with people who are growing in their faith. You know, and they may say things in a different way because they're going down that path of seeking, right? It's like they're going in that direction. They're not me and they're not you, but God is doing something in their life, and we need to listen to that and engage with those things. Yes, if someone says something that needs correction, we can do that. But overall, we want to listen to what God is saying to one another. Right, in our church, to be really engaging in this kind of a way and receiving the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to encourage you today that God is the Holy Spirit. He's the helper. He's there for you. But he's in ways that are practical and physical ways and things that you do need help with that are, you can depend upon him. But to a greater degree, he's the helper to help us to understand the mind of God. And the mind of God is a great place to be. Begin to practice even short prayers, but asking God, show me your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come into me, Holy Spirit. You know, illuminate my heart, Holy Spirit. Let me to see the wondrous things that you have given to us. Amen. Let's sing a song together. It's a response. It's actually another text that was written by someone who I've been using recently. She sets these texts to well-known melodies. And this one is sung to the melody of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I think we know it. And so let's stand up together and we'll sing these inspired words that remind us of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, okay? We're not going to use piano today. So I'm going to depend on you knowing the melody. Faithful God, you sent your Spirit long ago at Pentecost. You gave life and said to share it as one beneath your cross. May we see your wondrous blessing when your people everywhere were together all confessing faith that binds us, faith to share. God of hope, you daily nurture those who seek to follow you. You're not bound by any culture. You love rich and poor ones too. In an ever-changing nation, may your churches welcome in every child of your creation, giving hope to all again. God of love, may we in worship welcome our diversity. May we reach in trust and friendship to the poor and refugee. May we see Christ in the stranger, breaking bonds of hate and fear. By your Spirit, may we offer glimpses of your kingdom here. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, I'm humbled by the writing of intercessory prayer with my name next to it, but I thank you that you empower us, that you give us the mission, you give us the authority that we only can have through the grace of Jesus Christ to be intercessors for others. But we thank you for being the great intercessor, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being the intercessor that we learned about today. And so it's in the name of Jesus Christ and the name of the Father and in the Holy Spirit that I lift up this prayer to you, Lord, O God, who have created us and made us your witnesses, saved us from our sins, given us eternal life, and the promise of being reunited with you, filled with joy, when Jesus returns. As an intercessory prayer today, Lord, we lift up this world that we are living in, and we pray, Father, that you will help us to be, through the Holy Spirit, aware of the people that you put in our lives that we can witness to with the gospel. We pray through the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit would take our prayers and pray for us in groans, Lord, to the Father in heaven, for people to be helped. There are so many people who are helpless, and you know them all. And so, Lord, we just simply want to intercede for them today and lift them up to you, that you would help them in their times of need physically and also, more importantly, Lord, in their spiritual lives, so that they would know hope that is found in Christ Jesus. We intercede for those who are in leadership positions, who are facing immense pressures in their work as leaders and oftentimes coming under scorn, that you would provide them with godly wisdom, that you would lead them to Christ Jesus, that they would be servant leaders, and that they would be blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that you would help us never to succumb to anything that is led by Satan, because we know that Christ Jesus is greater. We pray that you'll help us, Father, to pray the word of God and the name of Jesus so that Satan and all of his demons would flee from us. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us to put on the full armor of God, that our strength would be found in the might of God alone. We pray, Father, for our loved ones. We pray, Father, for those who are sick and weary of being sick, that they would find rest in you and that you would heal them. We pray, Father, for those who are fighting in war, that you would protect them and that there would be an end to war. We pray for peace. We pray for love to abound. We pray, Father, for forgiveness, that we would be restored to you, Lord. And we pray, Father, for those in our lives that are lost and don't know Christ yet, that they would know him and that they would receive him into their hearts and that they would receive the Holy Spirit to be filled with the blessing of the mind of God living inside of them. We pray, Father, that you will help our children as they go to school, that they would learn their lessons well. We pray, Father, for those who are involved with sports, that you would help them to know that the Bible speaks of all of these things in ways to help us to grow in our lives, and that who we are is really found in your word. And you teach us about ourselves, and let them also know, Lord, that they are in a race and that you want them, Lord, through your power to reach that finish line in glory. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to be students of your word, that we would diligently read it and understand that there is nothing that we can do of our own power in this world, but that we are given power from above, supernatural power that helps us to conquer life's problems. And yes, Lord, that even death has no effect upon us because Jesus is risen from the grave. We thank you for our relationships in this church. We pray, Father, for one another, that we, Lord, would be of the same mind and heart of Jesus Christ, that we would be patient and gentle and kind and good as Jesus was, that we would be long-suffering, that we would be quick to forgive, that we would love our enemies, that we would be wise to the tricks and the deceits of evil in this world, and to flee from it, and to help others that are fallen into the net of Satan so that they would be freed through Christ. We thank you for our church here. We thank you, Father, for those here in person and those at home. Help us not to judge anyone. Help us to pray more, to receive things from you, Lord, when you speak to us, and know that you are a good God and that you want only good things for us. We pray, Father, that your word would spread to every nation. Bless our missionaries. We intercede for those who are in dangerous places now. Lord, help them to know your presence in their lives and the protection of the army of angels that surround them. We thank you, God, for this time. We offer up our lives and the rest of this day to you. And lastly, we intercede for our Chinese ministry brothers and sisters, that you would bring a pastor for them in your timing, a shepherd who would be kind and good, a man like Jesus, a man that is going to bless them and fill them with the word of God and restore them in where they need to be restored. And Lord, we rejoice in advance of your choosing this person. We pray, God, that you'll bless them wherever they are. And thank you that we can trust in you. Thank you that we can follow you. Just lead us on, O King Eternal. We pray in Jesus' name.